Welcome to In Season, where we explore the farms and gardens of the Lower Columbia Pacific region. I'm your host, Teresa Retzloff, and today in the studio, I'm so happy to be speaking with John Mercereau, longtime Arch Cape resident, but also president of the board of North Coast Land Conservancy. Welcome, John.
Thank you very much.
It's so great to see you again. And we're talking about a really special project that North Coast Land Conservancy has going on for this holiday season. I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff that you guys are doing, but we're heading into the Thanksgiving week and coming up on the holiday season really soon. And I know people are starting to think about Christmas trees. And you guys have a really cool project, Christmas Trees from Boneyard Ridge. And I want you to talk about it, as this is another way for you to maybe think about combining getting a Christmas tree with supporting conservation on the North Coast. So what's it all about?
So basically, we purchased 340 acres up on the eastern flank of Tillamook Head, completed that project last year. And it is part of its industrial timberland. Part of it is clear cut, part replant, part old forest in there. And we came up with a great idea of the forest land is going to need some thinning on it for promoting forest health in general.
Because when trees are planted too close together, it just kills everything that's
exactly,
growing
exactly.
underneath, right? So you need to thin the trees.
Right. So as it turns out, there are a few stands of noble firs up there. And
that's kind of unusual to be planted as a forest tree around here.
It is unusual. I talked to Melissa, our stewardship director at the Land Trust, and she indicated that, because I did ask, it seems an unusual tree to replant.
Yeah.
It was planted because it is less susceptible to wind, and the success of its growth for replant is much higher.
So interesting. And that is certainly
a very windy ridge up there.
Very windy spot, yeah.
And so they planted over these hillsides, but they are very, very closely together, so it's the thinning is required in there. As it turns out, they make wonderful Christmas trees. So,
I mean, actually, that's a popular Christmas tree. I mean, those can be very spendy.
Yeah. No, they're absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
And on that note, when we thin up there, these trees, we've started, this last year was our first year.
Uh-huh.
A lot of these trees we'll end up bringing back for sale are fairly tall,
mm-hmm.
anywhere from, 8 to 20, not really 20, but they are all custom cut to anybody's preference.
So you're going to bring down some pretty tall trees, you can cut them to
exactly.
size.
Yeah, we can custom cut them to what people want. And if somebody wants
a big tree,
this would be a good place to get one. So
these are also they haven't been groomed, clearly. They've been growing out in the wild.
No.
This is not, you are not a Christmas tree farm by any means.
No, these are not your classic cultured tree, Christmas trees like you would think of at the farm. But they have a lot of character. They're
the classic Charlie Brown tree.
Classic Charlie Brown. Well, I wouldn't even go that far. There's some that are, they're wonderful trees. People oohed and aahed, and we sold everything we had last year.
And you're going to be selling them. So what I thought was really cool about this project is you do have, this is going to be on December 2nd, right?
Yes.
Which is a Saturday?
Saturday and Sunday from 11 to 1.
Okay.
People can come
so
out.
So the 2nd and 3rd
yes.
Are when you're going to be selling them. And this is going to be down at the barn at your Circle Creek property.
Yes.
Which is down, for those of you who don't know, maybe talk a little bit about Circle Creek and where that is.
Circle Creek is the property, if people go along 101 looking east towards Tillamook Head between Peterson's Point and Seaside, that whole floodplain to the east of Tillamook Head, there is Circle Creek, 360 acres, one of the earlier purchases.
Which now connects to Boneyard Ridge, which is makes 600 and
exactly.
some connected
exactly.
acres in that area. It's so exciting.
It's just wonderful.
Yeah.
And there's a barn structure, a big barn out there, which will be where this event is.
Mm-hmm.
You can find directions on our website if people aren't aware of where it is, off Rippet Road.
Mm-hmm.
The
website is nclctrust.org.
Yes.
Just so people know, it's not nclc.org. It's nclctrust.org.
Right. Thank you. The Boneyard Ridge property then connects to our Circle Creek property, and then including Ecola State Park.
Because it connects to Eucola State Park.
Connects to Eucola State Park.
So that's like, so basically the whole top of, I mean, Tillamook Head is essentially conserved.
There's 3,500 acres of conserved land on Tillamook Head, which is absolutely epic. If you look from the 101 side and look at that whole eastern side and then think about Eucola over the ridge there, it's epic how much conserved land is up there.
It's so amazing. And I mean, you think about Tillamook Head as just one of those iconic places on the Oregon coast. I mean, so many people know it. It's so distinctive. It's really, for the North Coast, it's one of those really, really distinctive landmarks. And to have that land conserved for, just, you think about those forests are going to grow forever now. There's going to be wildlife habitat. And there are a whole bunch of salmon spawning creeks and streams that go up onto Tillamook Head, Boneyard Ridge being one of them. I mean, there's salmon that come up that creek.
Right. Oh, yeah. I did
to spawn, which is amazing.
Yeah, it was.
And these are wild coastal coho, yeah.
These are wild coastal coho. I got involved in a couple of years worth of surveys of coho coming up Boneyard Creek, which is just a very, very small but wonderful coho habitat.
Oh, man.
And they would get up to a covert on an old logging road up there that we then, with the cooperation of the then owner, we pulled out the coverts and provided more spawning habitat for those salmon even up higher. But yes, it's
I feel like being able to see salmon spawn in a coastal creek is honestly one of the transformative moments in my life. I mean, those creatures are so amazing, and their will to reproduce and the tenacity and the perseverance that they have to get up into these places that are amazing. I mean, I was convinced that they could fly because there were times when we'd be hiking up creeks, my husband, Packy, and I, and we'd come to this amazing log jam and we're thinking, oh, we're never going to see any salmon up above this. And then, you know, you walk, you know, 100 feet up there and there will be a pair of salmon spawning. And you're thinking, how did you get up here? This is crazy.
They're
magic. They really are. Yeah. So the other thing that I love about this project that you're doing, so people can come and get a Christmas tree for you and go take it home and decorate it and use it and enjoy it for the holiday season. And then you're asking them to bring those trees that came from Boneyard Ridge back to you after the holiday season. And what are you going to do with them then?
We collect those trees, and then there are a couple of side channel refuges on the Circle Creek property, and we will put those trees, after you're done with them, we'll put them back into the floodplain for, they make wonderful juvenile salmon habitat.
And so this is like, these will be like kind of alcove areas or off-channel habitat where when you submerge Christmas trees or that kind of plant material into them, the trees take on, they grow a lot of algae on them, they attract insects, and they provide cover for juvenile salmon.
Yes, exactly.
And which is really key. It's kind of that whole life cycle too. You're helping, you know, thin the forest and create a better ecosystem up where the adults are spawning.
Yes, it's part of the story of this this event is the full circle of these trees, from being thinned for forest health, enjoyed by the public, and then recycled for the health of the salmon populations in there. And if anybody's been involved with that, it's fascinating to go and look at those Christmas trees that are placed in those areas and see how quickly all of this happens and see what the effect is. I've actually had the opportunity to go and come back and seen juvenile populations in these trees. It's very cool.
Just swimming in and around in the trees.
Swimming in and around, and the trees very quickly get the growth on them. Mm-hmm. All the needles are like a trap and provide that habitat for that growth happens very quickly. It's just a wonderful part of the complete cycle for these fish.
That is the coolest thing. I want to also mention that I know that you're really just asking for the trees that come from Boneyard Ridge to be brought back to you at Circle Creek. There are other organizations. I know Lewis and Clark National Historic Park and then also the Nequannicum Watershed Council also sponsor Christmas tree collection projects where they are also taking your Christmas trees coming from other places and putting them into similar situations to create habitat for juvenile salmon and other just ecosystem health. So definitely keep an eye out during the holiday season. There'll be a lot of information out there for ways that you can donate Christmas trees. Clearly, please don't flock your trees, or if you put tinsel on them, please make sure you take all of that off before you bring it back, because that's not good.
It's a wonderful way to recycle it. instead of like I used to do is put them out in the backyard and then they would blow around in the first storm and end up lodged up against the mailbox or whatever.
Yeah, so. I'm so guilty of that too.
Or
so.
Wait till they get totally dry and attempt to burn them and have to call the fire department. So that's the other
This is
option.
A much better way to deal with your tree after the fact. I know, it's so great. I mean, it's such a beautiful area and it's so fascinating to see what's happening in that whole floodplain. I mean, and literally now it is a floodplain. Several years ago, North Coast Land Conservancy worked on a project with ODOT to help remove some sections of berm along 101 where there was a lot of flooding there around the Bierman Creek area. And now so much of that, when there are high water events, that water goes back into the Nakankam River natural floodplain, which is basically Circle Creek.
Yeah.
So that's so cool.
Which was a great project. And yeah. It's working and is... to the benefit of the community. I mean, it's
absolutely,
real
yeah. It's really reduced the flooding. Yeah.
Win-win situation
I
where
know.
It was being restored back to what it originally was and alleviating a headache for a lot of people.
That's so really great. So, John, I just wanted to ask you, you're a longtime resident of Arch Cape. How long have you lived in that community?
I've lived in Arch Cape since 78. So quite a few years.
What brought you to Arch Cape in the first place?
Oh, I lived in Cannon Beach I think I moved down there in 1971.
Uh-huh.
And, when it was a slightly different community, and easy place to be. And then ended up finding a house in Arch Cape on Arch Cape Creek.
Uh-huh.
Always forever a water guy, so it was a wonderful setting. And been there ever since.
And you've been gardening?
Gardening.
I've sad that I've never visited your garden, but I've heard so many stories about it and just heard tell of like the amazing things that you grow and how wonderful it is. And
good.
I mean, gardening there for 40 years. That's a long time to have a garden.
Yeah. I inherited part of a garden plot, but it had been so overrun. But I had a history from the previous owner of the one part of the story was this gentleman who built the house and had this garden plot grew peas. And he grew peas enough that he would actually sell them out on the street. He'd have a box of them. And so that was my only hint of what was happening with his garden. And I took over from there. And indeed, peas do very well.
Okay.
But I have raised beds that I've been tending forever, 3x10 beds,
You make your own compost, too,
Make my own compost, and that's pretty much all I feed into these beds. I've got a system down where I can mulch, cover them, and feed them every year, cover them, and very easy in the spring to start.
You're covering with
right
some, like a black plastic sheet
black plastic,
and weight
yeah.
it down and then let it kind of cook over the winter.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Keeps the rain from beating down and compacting too much. And So I've got it down to a system that it's a very good start in the spring, and the forest is growing around me a little.
Yeah,
losing a little
is
bit
it
of
changing
light.
Your light.
Changing,
yeah, that's interesting.
So
I've
had to see what works and what doesn't. But
yeah,
as I was telling you, with that many beds, I was growing an awful lot of produce for, particularly for my kids that would. A lot of produce would go out to them, and then they both bought houses with gardens. So I've had to throttle back a little bit.
Oh, no.
And I'm not doing a CSA.
That's well, you. I think you should start. You know, maybe you should start. I don't know. So how did you connect with North Coast Land Conservancy?
I have always been an outdoors person down here.
Mm-hmm.
Just completely enjoyed the environment that we have on the North Coast. Particularly walking all the rivers, fishing.
You're a big fisherman.
Huge fisherman. And I fished on Elk Creek in Cannon Beach a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the Watershed Council first came to be in Cannon Beach, I got involved with that.
Uh-huh.
Through that, I think, started hearing about the North Coast Land Conservancy and started volunteering for them also.
Mm-hmm.
And once you start volunteering with the North Coast Land Conservancy, watch out.
I know.
And here I am.
you joined as a board member. Well, you started out on their stewardship team, I remember.
Yes.
And being part of that whole sort of stewardship
right.
world, going
right.
out and helping with restoration projects and habitat conservation.
But it's a very good fit for me, and I knew that right off the bat, that I'm passionate about the mission that the Land Trust is doing. And to watch, even in the relatively short time I've been with them, to watch what they are doing and what they are capable of doing. It's just been a wonderful experience.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Part of that experience also was in my tromping around in the woods and on the rivers, mm-hmm. And then being around people that had an appreciation in kind of a different way of looking at that was educational for me also.
How do you mean different way?
Well, you take a walk in the woods, for instance, behind my house. I live on the Coast Trail, mm-hmm. go up in the forest up there, have your head down, walking on the woods, and then you go up with someone like Doug Duer, mm-hmm. who can start to point out the plants, the animal trails, the way everything's connected.
You see it differently. Yeah.
You see it differently.
Absolutely.
And there are people involved with this land trust that's why we're so successful, because they see things differently and they see the big picture.
Yeah, and they see those connections.
Neat.
I know.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So if you are just joining us today on In Season, we are speaking with John Mercero. He's the board president of North Coast Land Conservancy. And I should also say that you are listening to In Season on Coast Community Radio, which is KMUN Astoria 91.9 FM and KTCB Tillamook at 89.5 FM. And we're also streaming at coastradio.org. So John Mercero, board president of North Coast Land Conservancy, and we were talking, and part of the motivation for this conversation is because you have this great project, thinning trees on a Boneyard Ridge, which is up on top of Tillamook Head. So you're trimming noble firs and maybe some grand firs, I think you said, mm-hmm. thinning those trees, and then they're going to be available for people to use those Christmas trees for a donation. There is a suggested donation that people, you can find out more on your website, nclctrust.org. If you want to find out about that. And this is going to be, they're going to be available on the 2nd and 3rd of December at Circle Creek property. And that directions to that property, it's south of Seaside, are also on your website. You also have a volunteer opportunity on December 1st, which is for people to come out and help cut down these trees. Now, you're looking for a very specific kind of volunteer for this. Can you talk a little bit about what kind of skill set you're looking for here? Because I don't think I'm your person for December 1st.
I was telling Teresa, we thinned out for our first event last year for this. We thinned out some pretty easy to get trees off the side of the road. These ones are going to be a little bit more challenging because they're down a hill. If anybody wanted to volunteer, I would say we need preferably a chainsaw and a pickup truck to be able to haul trees.
A four-wheel drive pickup truck.
A four-wheel drive.
And the skill to use a chainsaw on a hillside.
And a nimble person to be scampering up and down hillsides, preferably too. I might just direct that.
You could stand and point right. and let other people. I mean, if you can't use a chainsaw, but you want to maybe be one of the people that helps haul the trees out.
People could help haul trees. I think we're going to have people with loppers that are going to be cutting undergrowth mm-hmm. for us to be able to get to these trees.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fun. It's a
oh, and it's
you're
so
on this area
beautiful
that's got
up
this
there.
Epic view facing north and east into Seaside. It's a great spot.
Well, and that's what's so cool too about the opportunities to visit properties like Boneyard Ridge up on top of Tillamook Head, when this is not an area that's normally open to the public, and you're going up there for a specific project, and it's you're out in the middle of this beautiful forest, and the views are ones you've never seen before.
They're
it's
gorgeous.
Incredible to
yeah.
see the Oregon coast from that point of view.
So I would encourage anybody that with that scenario would love to have any volunteers come up.
And there's also information, so on your website, nclctrust.org, there's also information about the volunteer day on December 1st as well.
Yes.
To get in touch, and John's definitely going to be spearheading that event, but they are looking for some help for that as well. So I wanted to kind of pivot a little bit and talk about, I know you're, so as a longtime resident of Arch Cape, I know that there's another project that North Coast Land Conservancy is working on that you have to be very deeply excited and happy about. And this is something that I should say, like, for full disclosure here, I used to work for North Coast Land Conservancy. I started in 2008. I think I was there for a few years doing outreach and fundraising for the organization. And so NCLC is an organization that's pretty close to my heart. And I remember back then, and we were under massive restrictions to ever talk about it back then, there was a project called Rainforest Reserve. And it was just this kind of like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if someday that could happen? And here we are now, and it's happening, and you guys are actively fundraising for it. Can you tell us a little bit about that and where that is and what the Rainforest Reserve will be someday?
I can. I miss you down there, by the
I know.
Way.
I miss you guys, too. I miss you guys. I know. I know. And I have to say, I'm just so excited that this project finally came to be, because from a like coastal ecosystem point of view, this is, I mean, people talk about like conserving from the ridgetops to the ocean, and this really is like something that is going to make that possible, where there will be a conserved ecosystem from the top of the Coast Range to a marine reserve off of
so
Cape Falcon.
So to date, this there were 5,000 acres of industrial timberland behind Arch Cape. And like you've indicated, this project has been on the works for many, many years, mostly in discussion to begin with. And then when it got more serious, trying to find a willing landowner that would work with us.
Mm-hmm.
And we finally did and jumped into it. And I can say that we now have the capacity and the staff and the knowledge, which I'm so thankful for and amazed at sometimes.
Yeah,
that we can do this. And we signed a sales and purchase agreement last year to purchase 3,500 acres of this original 5,000 that will be what we're referring to as the Rainforest Reserve.
And does it have direct connectivity to Oswald West State Park?
It does. It is contiguous to Oswald West. It goes east and south up to Onion Peak, includes Onion Peak and Gora Peak. We already have an easement on Onion Peak.
And I should say, too, that Onion Peak and Angora Peak are both areas where there is like some very rare native plant communities up there, very sensitive habitat. It's really wonderful to see all of that ecosystem, you know, coming under this protection, because those are places where there's plants that just don't exist places.
Absolutely incredible. And I would, along that line, I would encourage anybody, our executive director, Katie Volke, is doing public presentations, and you can find out when she's going to be doing the next one on our website also. Mm-hmm. And she tells a wonderful story about the Rainforest Reserve that I won't even come close to doing or have the time to do justice to. But for one thing, the geology of what we're talking about back there is absolutely fascinating. But this is all part of our properties are divided into what we refer to as initiatives, six of them spanning from the Columbia River down to the Siletz, Lincoln City area. This initiative is what we refer to as our coastal edge, which also includes Boneyard Ridge, Tillamook Head, down to Nehalem.
Mm-hmm.
So our vision for this coastal edge, this Rainforest Reserve, is a start to it. And a very exciting start.
I know. And you guys have been actively fundraising for this.
Yes.
So certainly if people are interested in helping to purchase this property, get in touch.
Yeah.
It's one of those once in a lifetime moments. And I think what makes me feel really excited about it, both this and then with the work that you guys are doing on Boneyard Ridge and all of this, is thinking about, I mean, conserved land is land that's basically protected in perpetuity. I mean, forever. And this is land that's going to be allowed to grow and be wild and the fact that there will be wild places on the Oregon coast for not just for animals and birds and wildlife habitat, but for us humans to appreciate and see and interact with on some level,
it's phenomenal.
Is such a gift.
Yeah, it is. And it's the in perpetuity is a big responsibility.
Yeah.
But how many, when does that happen?
Well, exactly. And I mean, to me, one of the things that I really took away from the time that I spent in conservation work is that, there's the benefits are so huge on so many different levels. I mean, just from like having the wild spaces, I think, emotionally appreciating the beauty of this area that we live in is huge. But then the benefits to wildlife, the benefits for salmon and salmon habitat, which is something that we all love out here. For people who, like the elk and the deer. I know there's a lot of hunters out there that appreciate it's hunting season and there's elk and deer out there. They need wild places to live as well.
Right.
There's so many different reasons why wild spaces are important. The carbon that all of those trees capture and sequester in the ground that they're pulling out of the atmosphere, that's a huge thing for all of us to appreciate. And the biodiversity that then is present, it seems like such a win and such a gift, I think.
Absolutely. And I think people, when we talk about the rainforest reserve. If one, it's hard for people to squint and look at a degraded clear-cut area, for instance, and think about left alone what that will look like in 1,000 years.
Yeah.
And also to try and envision what these forests that we're talking about behind, you know, on the North Coast looked like 1,000 years ago. These wonderful temperate rainforests that supported everything you've just said.
Yeah.
That can be one day, will be.
Well, and I think it's that we talk about taking the long view, and the gift that people in our generation are making is, I mean, partly to ourselves to know, I mean, to be able to appreciate places like that, but you're making a gift to generations that you're never going to see, you're not going to live to see. You're making generations, you know, hundreds of years from now, that's when those ecosystems are really going to come into their true well-being and balance.
Yeah.
And it's just setting the stage to allow that to happen.
Yeah. And for people driving down the 101 corridor from Tillamook down to Nehalem too, the geology and it's spectacular, really. I mean, you almost take it for granted when you look up to the east and see these ridges up here.
Yeah.
But in reality, it's a unique, spectacular landscape up there.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
I know. It's so amazing to think about those places being allowed to be wild. And and it's great to think, I mean, just to kind of circle backward, you know, starting to run out of time here, just circle back to the whole Christmas trees from Boneyard Ridge project that we started with. Well, but I think about this as like, it's, I mean, it's a gift, you know, buying one of these trees, making a donation to North Coast Legacy to buy one of these Christmas trees from Boneyard Ridge is a gift to the Land Trust to help it continue this work of conservation on the North Coast. You're making the gift of helping this ecosystem be healthier. Yes. And then you're giving the tree back. You know, if you return it to North Coast Land Conservancy and allow them to put it back into the floodplain, it's a gift back. And then it's a gift also to those generations to come.
Yes.
I just feel like, you know, in the whole spirit of giving for this holiday season, you know, whatever your bent, whatever, however you celebrate, you know, the winter festive season, I mean, to me, this is a gift that kind of crosses anything and is something that's, you know, not just giving to yourself, but giving to all of us here
who
love these communities.
So please come out.
I know. So the website again to find out all this information
is nclctrust.org.
And that's really the place to start.
Information on,
absolutely. So if you're interested in one of these trees or interested in volunteering or just finding out more about any of these projects that we've been talking about, please get in touch. John Mercereau, Board President, North Coast Land Conservancy, and Arch Cape Gardener. It's so great to see you again. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well,
and
thanks for having me.
Oh, man, it's been great to see you again.
Good to
and
see
thank you.
You,
everyone, for joining us. Thank you to Joanne, our fabulous engineer today. We appreciate you for joining us for In Season on Coast Community Radio. Thanks.